ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Turon Davenport to the program from ESPN, fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm well. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, it's a fun week, I guess, a busy week, a lot of coaching search conversation when it comes to who the Titans are in contact with. So what are maybe a couple of names that intrigue you the most that have been in connection to the Titans that are out there at the moment? And what do you make about kind of the wide net that it feels like the Titans are casting here?
Well, I think it's good that they are interviewing a variety of candidates. That's definitely the right way to go about doing it. There are multiple names that intrigue me. Obviously, Matt Nagy is the most likely. You know, that's no breaking news or anything like that. But I would say this. A lot of people laughed at the Jason Garrett interview or just the request. I think that's a good one. And you got to kind of dial into the catalog and roll it back a little bit. And when you look at Jason Garrett, right, he's a former quarterback himself, right? And with him being a former quarterback, he played for North Turner, right? And North Turner, you look at the offense that he ran, a lot of play action, vertical concepts, because he got that from Ernie Zampezi, who got that from Don Coryell. So I say all that to say that's a blended offense that I think matches well for Cam Ward's ability. So I don't think Jason Garrett is just some laughable candidate. That's intriguing to me because of that. But then you also look at Vance Joseph, and that's a very intriguing name for me just because of what he does defensively as far as being able to just make a quarterback feel pressured. You know, and the Broncos, they lead the league in sacks. I mean, he has a lot to do with that. And we know that this team, they need somebody that could help them be able to rush the passer also. Not that Denard Wilson didn't do a good job. It's just Vance Joseph, I think, is one of the two best coordinators in the league.
So, first of all, you mentioned Eric Coryell, and my ears perk up. I mean, it's like again, Dan Fouts, Eric Coryell, some of the best football anybody ever could have watched. Let's stick with Garrett. What about the time away? There have been some coaches who have had extended breaks and got back into it. I always worry about that just because it's just this constant, it's a constant. If you're in the game, you're attuned to the personnel around the league. You're attuned to all the schematics and the copycatting and everything. And you're away. I know he's been on TV, but that's still a different perspective. And that's not being inside of. So is that a concern for you, or do you think that can be overcome?
Man, you robbed my answer before I could answer it. I was going to say being on TV still helps him keep in tune. But you're right. I mean, there is a degree of separation that you have to get over. But to me, coaching is like riding a bike, man. You don't forget how to do it. So I think that's something that he would be okay with. Now, granted, look, man, folks, don't get in my timeline and call me crazy or stupid or anything like that. I'm just saying it's intriguing. I'm not saying that should be the answer. Right, should be the guy. So let's make sure we have that clear. And the thing is, right, let's say they hire a young coach, you know, whether it's Chris Shula, and they bring in an OC, you could have him as a pass game coordinator, you know what I mean? And he could kind of work his way through the realms to eventually be a head coach if that's what he wants to do. I think that's a good reason to interview him, to see where his head's at and see, okay, do you want to be an OC? Is that something that you could do or a pass game coordinator if we hire someone young? Just like the Matt LaFleur interview.
TD, what do you make of Mike McDaniel, who looked like he was safe in Miami, and then all of a sudden he wasn't safe in Miami, and I know Cleveland's reached out to him about potentially being an interview and a candidate there. But either the idea of interviewing him as a head coaching candidate here, or, as I've seen you and others throw out, like if Saleh gets hired here to be the head coach, that Saleh McDaniel combo from head coach, offensive coordinator, I think intrigues a lot of Titans fans.
Yeah, you know, that's Saleh. He and Robert Saleh, it's like, you know, when you go to the mall and you get a short set, that's it right there. You know what I mean? You get a matching pair. And I think that's something that if they were to hire Robert Saleh, they need to immediately, well, he needs to immediately tell Mike McDaniel he has a job. I'm sure they've already discussed it. If that were to be the case, you know, for him to get the job. So it's a pairing that I think has to happen, you know, if he gets the job.
Well, how much more, I guess, attractive is Robert Saleh as a head coaching candidate if that's the pairing? Yeah, if he can get Mike McDaniel to come with him. I mean, does that change just how you look at Saleh just on his own if he's with him?
If you look at them together, it's a lot more intriguing. But you know, I'm sure Robert Saleh has ties to somebody in the building in San Francisco that could, you know, which in turn has ties to Kyle Shanahan. So to me, if you're looking at the two candidates, Robert Saleh to me fits the mold that they want: a culture setter, a leader. You know what I mean? A presence that they need in order to turn this organization around. So to me, the difference between the two is that, but also it's not like Robert Saleh is any slouch on his side of the ball also.
TD, what most stood out to you from Mike Borgonzi's press conference earlier this week?
Good question. I'll say what stood out to me the most was the you know, insistence on not allowing his Chiefs bias to have a heavy influence on this decision. You know, he said that obviously you lean on what you're familiar with, but he said they're going to canvass all of the candidates, you know, asking players, asking, you know, different sources and things like that, you know, to get familiar with these candidates. And just the fact that, you know, he was like, he's not going to let that get in the way of choosing the right candidate. I think that stood out to me. But there were a few things, but that was probably the biggest. I do like the way he mentioned, you know, how important it is to make sure this candidate is someone that can, you know, bring the best out of Cam Ward. He went out of his way to praise Jeffrey Simmons. This organization, they seem to be pretty, pretty happy with him, because even Mike McCoy, when he talked, you know, these guys, they're happy what Jeffrey Simmons did this year.
Okay, to another Mike Mick something, Mike McCarthy. So and you were mentioned, people getting your mentions, TD. I don't know. PK said something on our show, and someone got after him on social media. I saw you were involved somewhat with this guy who kind of freaks me out, actually. What is your understanding of McCarthy, I guess the seriousness of the interest, and, you know, the Brinker, whatever, whether the Brinker pass is a good thing, bad thing, or an indifferent thing when it comes to, you know, him, the Titans being interested in McCarthy?
Yeah, you know what? First and foremost, listen, I apologize for jumping in the mud. I never should have done that. I should have left that alone. That was my first day having some time, and I made some bad decisions by replying to things on there that I normally wouldn't. So get that out of the way. The Mike McCarthy thing, and PK, just being the excellent reporter that he is, he shared some context. And I think, you know, this was a situation where apparently the context wasn't understood. Like, he wasn't saying it concrete. Sometimes we know some things, aren't sure about it, and we'll insinuate something and give something to give some background, and it's taken out of context. So that's the word of the day, folks, context. Now, when you look at Mike McCarthy, though, obviously he's got the experience, which I know they like. He has the leadership qualities, you know, which he's shown. I know the end was rocky, but the fact of the matter is, regardless of whether he and Chad Brinker, you know, go out and have lunch together, that's not important. What's important, and I know what Chad Brinker is about, the Packer way, right? And that's something that he believes in. It's something that he grew up in. It's something that he cut his teeth in. And so he knows that Mike McCarthy, having been there, is very much the Packer way. So regardless of personal friendships or anything like that, that's the intrigue, in my opinion, to Mike McCarthy for the Titans.
TD, you mentioned some of the younger candidates that are out there that haven't been head coaches before, which to me, look, I'm all for. I understand the last guy that you hired didn't work out and he didn't have previous head coaching experience. I think a lot of this fan base wants somebody in here who has previous head coaching experience, and I understand that. But, like, you know, whether it's Chris Shula or any one of the, like, Jeff Hafley in Green Bay, there are some really intriguing guys out there that have not been head coaches in the NFL before that I don't think Titans fans should just outright dismiss for the simple fact that they haven't been head coaches in the league before.
Yeah, well, Robbie, I know you could speak on Jeff Hafley better than a lot of people, you know, being as though that's your favorite team's DC, and you've seen what this Packers defense has done, you know, since he got there. So I that's a really good candidate, in my opinion, and I think he's somebody you could pair with an OC, whether it's a veteran one or what have you. You know, you take Jeff Hafley and let's say Matt Nagy, you know, is the OC there. That's a good pairing, you know what I mean? So and he's been there and done that, right? Jake Lyman yesterday on his show made a great point. He's kind of like that happy medium, whereas, okay, you do want a young up-and-coming coach, right? But and you want a coach that has some experience. Well, he has experience being a head coach in Boston College, so he gives you a little bit of that. He's like right in between the two.
Yeah, no, I think he's someone we probably haven't talked about enough. So, TD, I'm going to just assume John Harbaugh, you know, is not going to end up interviewing with the Titans, and who knows? I mean, Giants or maybe the Bills job pops open or whatever, but I think right after him, you know, for most of the league would be Kevin Stefanski, but I know there's a lot of really varying opinions on Stefanski. Where do you come down on Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't care for him at all. And to me, you know, as a head coach, as a man, if you are the whole situation with Shador, I didn't like that, right? Not because I'm a big advocate of Shador Sanders. I don't like the fact that, look, man, you have a goal, and that's to win football games. And he let his personal whatever it is with Shador Sanders get in the way of them beating the Titans. Why on earth are you running Wildcat after your quarterback is cooking all day? Why are you running Wildcat for a two-point conversion? The fact that Shador would come off the field and he wouldn't go. Now, this is an offensive coach now. Like, we're not talking about a defensive mind, because he's an offensive coach. Why, when your quarterback comes off the field, you don't go over and talk to him? What kind of mess is that? And then on top of that, what type of mean girls, high school stuff is that to let a personal vendetta get in the way of how you try to develop the quarterback? Like, that's just a bunch of nonsense. I wouldn't want that type of person leading my organization. But, hey, man, I'm on the phone talking to you guys, not over there at St. Thomas Sports Park making the decisions.
Which, it's a great way to spend your morning talking to us. Absolutely. No doubt
Absolutely,
about it.
Absolutely, man. For sure.
Nothing you'd rather be doing. TD, great stuff as always. It's going to be fun to see how this wraps up here over the next couple of weeks with the Titans head coach, and we will talk to you next Friday, my friend.
All right, for sure, man. Hey, let me say this, man. I went and saw Michaela Blakes last night.
Yeah.
Hey, Rex Rose. She's like the microwave Vinnie Johnson, man. Fourth quarter, 3 minutes, she had like 14 points. Next thing I know, she got 20-something. I said, good Lord.
But she's not pulling that jumper over the back of her head like Jamal Wilkes, though. That's the microwave. But no, man, she is amazing.
Her jumper's like butter, man. Yeah, she's all that.
Yes. Finally got some hoops talk on here.
Yeah,
there we go. Right, let's go.
That's all it took.
That's all you're going to get from me, though. That's it.
There we go. TD, thank you, sir.
All right, fellas, take care.
Teron Davenport with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. TD is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. We will react to what TD had to say. We've got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, TD, not a big fan of the Kevin Stefanski idea. So add him to the list. I mean, we've heard from a lot of people this week that either really like the idea of Kevin Stefanski. We've heard from a lot of people who really do not like the idea of Kevin Stefanski. Add TD to the do not category.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I hear what he's saying. I guess I just don't know all the ins and outs of that. I do know that, like, Shador, I like Shador. He's my favorite quarterback of the last class. I think he definitely some of the hatred for Shooter is over the top. Also, he did things like have the interview where he like wouldn't speak, and I Shador obviously has done some stuff to hurt himself, so I don't know what happened behind the scenes with them. I'm also so TD mentioned the 2-point conversion, so obviously that was a stupid call, but I don't know if that necessarily relates to like their relationship. That might have just been a dumb call, right? Like it's a dumb like this is our 2-point
Maybe. I
play.
mean, it was
I
pretty
don't
dumb.
know. Yeah, it was dumb. But yeah, I agree. Like it wasn't a good look. I mean, it wasn't a good look for I guess the fans here, like the whole organization, when they like drafted Shador and they're like,
Oh, great. Yay.
let's clap. I don't know. To me, that's not, I definitely have questions about that. If I'm in the Titans building, I want to know what the heck went on. And I have questions about that, not just for Stefanski. I mean, I want to hear both sides of the whole thing. And if you're not satisfied with it, and it's like, yeah, he was way too petty and he was immature when he's supposed to be the 40-something adult, and this is a kid who just came out of college. So is that a red flag? Yeah, if I don't get satisfactory explanation on that, then yeah, then that would be a deterrent. But I'm not. It's not a. It doesn't. It's not a non-starter for me because I want to know more. I want to know exactly what went on.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a non-starter for me either, but I would probably fall in the category of if they hired Kevin Stefanski, would I hate it? No. Would I be overly excited about it? I think the answer to that is probably no, too. Like, he just, to me, is one of those guys that's like, eh, I understand that he was dealt a bad hand in Cleveland, right? Like, the ownership situation is not great, and they over-involved themselves in Deshaun Watson, and then Jimmy Haslam has taken full responsibility for the Deshaun Watson situation since then. I just, there would be other candidates in mind for me ahead of Kevin Stefanski. I've talked about it, like McCarthy to me would be ahead of Stefanski. I am intrigued by guys like Hafley, by Chris Shula. Like those guys intrigue me, and I've said it, like you don't have to have head coaching experience for me to be a legitimate candidate for this job. You don't have to be an offensive guy for me to be a legitimate candidate for this job. But, there are some, maybe, probably not as much as Nagy, because I think there are some strong opinions on Nagy either way from both the Chicago fan base and some Titans fans around here. But there are some probably more all over the map opinions on Kevin Stefanski. But mostly what I see from Titans fans on Nagy is, yeah, no thanks. I don't want him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really like the I think overall he did a pretty good job with some bad circumstances. I definitely still like if you can get the right one, the play calling head coach, so you are immune to the constant search, the every 2 year search for an OC. But as PK pointed out the other day, and he wrote about the Titans essentially described a Vrabel-like coach as what they're looking for. And is that Stefanski? And is this whole thing with Shador, does that sort of cast a question on whether that's Stefanski? Because again, like you're gonna have personal conflicts, you're gonna have stuff that goes on. Like you are the leader of the whole place. You have to have your arms around that stuff and you gotta be able to deal with it. And there were times that he looked petty in that whole thing. So maybe it hurts him with a team looking for the culture coach.
Maybe so. That's the thing. When it was also interesting to hear TD's thoughts on the Jason Garrett part of this too, of like, maybe not the worst idea to have him in for the interview, and doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to hire him, but maybe not the worst thing to have him in for an interview. Look, he was in Dallas forever. I'm with you. Like, the biggest thing to me that would just preclude him from being anywhere near the top of my list would be he hasn't been a head coach since 2019. That's a long time ago in the NFL.
Yeah, and you're in it on TV, and you can be in it as much as, I mean, who knows? Like some of these former coaches or coaches taking a break, they try to stay as connected as possible. It's just been such a long time. A lot of times it's like because you know in a year or two you're going to do a little TV, but you know you're jumping back in. I mean, it kind of seemed like he was just doing TV, right? Like, okay, that's not a bad life. Way less stress. You get paid well. You're still in the game in a sense. But I just, yeah, even, and I understand coaches, it's why they have front offices, it's why you have scouts. But I do feel like the good coaches this league have a real handle on that too, when they're lining up against other teams, you know, like you're always looking at guys on those teams and you're really attuned to personnel, college football, you know, all that stuff. It just, I don't know. Some people probably stay a lot more connected than others. When it comes to that, but that's just a very long time. But yeah, I think some good points made by TD and I'm less, my initial reaction was really? But I guess I'm less like that now. It's like, why not? I mean, shoot, interview everyone. Just go for it.
I mean, that kind of
They
seems
kind
like
of
what they're
are.
doing. Yeah, they're interviewing a lot of people. A lot of people out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is time for Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. We got Indiana and Oregon in the college football playoff tonight. It is wild card weekend in the NFL. We will get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on the program. We got some college football playoff semifinal action tonight and NFL wildcard weekend coming up. We begin with a standings update in the competition. I led the way last week, 5-1 with my lock. Rex Road, 4-2. With his lock. Ian, 3-3, no lock. Pretty good week for the show last week, which brings the overall standings at 65-55. 10-10 on my locks, good for 75 points. I'm in first place. Ian with a slight lead for second place, 58-62 overall, 7-13 on his locks, 65 points. Rex Road, 53-67 overall, 11-9 on his locks, 64 points. That is your standings update in the competition. Right now, a battle for second and third place, and first place still within reach for both of you.
Not really. It's just basically this has become a battle for whether Ian or I am going to be buying you pizza. So I'm focused on Ian now. You're my sights, Ian.
There we go. We begin with Oregon and Indiana coming up in the college football playoff semifinal tonight. The winner will take on Miami in the national title game. Indiana is a 3.5-point favorite. I will start on this one. Give me Indiana. I mean, until proven otherwise, I'm just going to pick Indiana because they just keep winning games and a lot of times steamrolling people while they do it. Look, I think Oregon's a good team. We've seen this game played already earlier this year. It was a great game. But I'll take Indiana on the neutral site, -3.5 to win and to cover. Ian Safar, who we got?
I'm also going with Indiana. Both teams have been playing pretty well. Indiana more impressive last week, so I'll go with Indiana.
Going with Indiana. Joe Rexrode, who you got between the Ducks and the Hoosiers?
Well, may as well differentiate myself. I don't know why I'm picking against Indiana after watching them treat Alabama like Alabama's UAB, but I am. I think Oregon, if they don't outright win, I think it's a really close game, and I like the 3.5. But you know what? I'll go ahead and put it out there. I think Oregon wins in an upset tonight, and Dante Moore outplays Fernando Mendoza. So there you go.
Wow, that would set up a Ducks and Hurricanes matchup for the national championship. The Green Bay Packers taking on the Chicago Bears this weekend in the wild card round. Packers are a 1.5-point favorite. Ian Safar, you are up first in this one.
Yeah, this has been, I think, my toughest game to pick out of the ones we have here. I guess I'm going to go with the Packers. Been there, done that before. It's on the road. I don't love that. But I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Going with Green Bay. Rex Road, who do you have between the Packers and the Bears?
See, I don't want us all to have the same pick. But whatever. Yeah, you're not going to pick against your Packers. I'll go with the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers, too. I don't feel great about it, but I mean, I can't pick the Bears. in a playoff game against the Packers. I don't care if the line was minus 17 and a half. So, no thank you. I'll go Packers, minus the 1.5. Bills and Jags coming up this weekend. The Bills also a 1.5-point favorite on the road against Jacksonville. Joe Rexroad, you were up first in this one.
It's a really tough one. Jacksonville's playing better. I think Jacksonville's playing just about as well as anybody in the league, and they get this game at home. The pool will absolutely be bubbling over with milk. But I got to go with the Bills. I just can't believe the Bills are just going to go out with a whimper when they have such an opportunity in front of them. Give me Buffalo.
Give me Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville gets the win. They get the win against Buffalo, which is going to create a very interesting conversation as it relates to Sean McDermott and the Bills with John Harbaugh out there. But, look, I think Jacksonville's playing really well. Look, it's the playoffs. It's a new season. Experience matters, all those things. But I just like the way that Jacksonville's playing. And I like the way that this is at home for them. So I'll take Jacksonville plus the 1.5 and to win the game outright. Ian Safar, who you got?
Yeah, I'm also going with the Jags. I think the Jacksonville's going to win. AFC has been absolutely crazy already this year. No Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, no Burrow. Let's just throw no Josh Allen in there either. Give me the Jags.
So right now, this is setting up for Rex Road to either make up some ground or to be significantly behind in the competition at the end of this week.
Just flush me to the bottom.
Could be. It could be. We move to the individual portion of the program. Give me the Patriots minus 3.5 against the Chargers and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Vrabster. I don't know why I feel as strongly about this game as I do, but I felt this way all week. I think the Patriots are going to win by more than a touchdown. So I'll go Patriots minus 3.5 and we'll lock down on that. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I'm not picking that game. I had trouble coming to conclusion on that. I don't know. Chargers are playing well. They rested some players. Herbert. I decided to leave that one alone. My lock this week is an over-under. Give me over 38.5 Pittsburgh versus Houston. Make it my lock.
Guarantee.
Over 38.5 for the Steelers and the Texans. I like that. And locking down on it as well. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Okay, well, guess what? I got an over-under lock, too. But it's tonight, Indiana-Oregon, 48.5. I think this game is going to be like 23-20 Oregon. Give me the under and make that my lock.
Guarantee!
Locking down on the under. What was that number, 48.5?
48.5.
48.5 tonight between Indiana and Oregon. Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Okay, well, you know what? I may as well just go head-to-head with you. It probably won't end well for me. But, yeah, I'm glad that, you know, we've been talking about this all week, and I just think, you know, the Patriots might win on a last-second field goal, and that's kind of what I envision. But the Chargers, I think, are going to give them everything they want and really especially keep that score down and give Drake May trouble with that defense. So give me the Chargers and the 3.5.
Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
I am I'm going to go with San Francisco. Didn't play very well to end the season last week. Have been dealing with some injuries. I don't love it. Trent Williams, I don't know if he's going to play really. I don't love that against the Eagles. Pass rush, 4.5. I think they can cover that, though, even if the Eagles win. Give me San Francisco plus 4.5.
I will also take San Francisco plus the 4.5 as well. I'm with you. Like, I don't feel great about it. I don't think San Francisco's defense is all that good.
I know. I'm worried the Eagles are just going to run the ball.
I know.
Just like Seattle did, kind of. And
they haven't, like, the Eagles haven't really been able to do that much all year. Like, it's been a struggle for them, but it's the playoffs, and they kind of feel like one of those teams that might turn it on.
Yeah, Hurts might run a bunch in this game. I don't know.
So we'll see what happens on that front. 49ers plus the 4.5. For both Ian and I. Ian, wrap this up with your final individual selection.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out on the limb. Panthers cover. They're not going to win, but I think they're going to cover the 10.5.
Nice.
So give me Carolina plus 10.5 hosting the Rams.
Panthers plus the 10.5, which is a huge line in a playoff game in the
NFL.
They
covered last week versus Tampa Bay.
Sure did.
Barely. It was -3 or +3 for them, and it was 2. So I'll go back to them.
Going Panthers plus the 10.5 against the Rams. Rex Rhodes, your final individual selection.
Yeah, I thought about that one too, but I'm going to go Texans Steelers. Steelers plus 3 at home. I think the Texans are going to win this game like 23-13. So give me the Texans and I'll give the 3.
Going Texans minus the 3 against the Steelers. Give me the Bills and the Jags over under. Is it 51.5? It's a huge number. I'm going over. I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. It's going to be a battle between Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence. But I will go over 51.5. Going to be a high scoring affair down there in Duval. Man, what a story that'll be if Jacksonville comes down there and just immediately starts winning playoff games under that duo that they've got.
I mean, they might be the face of the league, man. I'm trying to think who they'd be like this generation's, like Belichick Brady, but instead Coach GM.
Yeah.
Belichick Brady and Belichick was basically the GM too, so they didn't have a trio. But the Trevor, Liam, and I forget the high schooler's name.
Gladstone. James Gladstone.
Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah, what a trio. Duval.
Oh, man. We got a lot of people on the text line think that the Steelers are going to beat the Texans. They think that, you know, with Metcalf being back in the fold, that the Steelers are getting ready to open up a can on the Texans.
Yes.
That'll be a close game. I don't know about opening up a can.
Yeah. I mean, I just – look, man, I think if anything travels, we understand that defense wins championships is an outdated adage and sometimes doesn't apply, but defense travels. That it certainly does. And I'm not expecting the Texans to light it up or anything. The Steelers will fight. But you can throw DK Metcalf in there. I think Aaron Rodgers, who to me looks skittish at times when he faces anybody with pass rush anymore, I think you're going to see a happy feet old man out there running around and ducking and getting sacked and throwing the ball away and just not producing many points.
Hey, Riley Leonard looked halfway decent against that Texans defense last week.
God, he looked unbelievable. Yeah. It's like, why did you guys not go to him?
Anytime you can go to Phillip Rivers, you go to Phillip Rivers. You don't worry about Riley Leonard.
I suppose that's true. Yes, Chris in Nashville, my record is 53-67. I suck, okay?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Final thoughts on Indiana and Oregon coming up tonight, NFL Wild Card Weekend as well. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, add two names to the list for requested interview candidates for the Titans. Chris Shula of the Rams and Jesse Minter, now being widely reported. Pelissero, Schefter, Rappaport, among others, putting it out there that you can add Shula and Minter to the list. So, Joe, I don't think really any surprise there that those two are getting interviewed, but now you can put the list up to like 16 names or whatever the number is right now.
Yeah, Shula, that's very intriguing. You know, Minter is a up-and-coming coach. You know, did a good job at Vanderbilt. I guess it depends on how much you care about the fact that he was like, "Hey, Connor Stallions, what should I call? Connor, come here, Connor." And then he's got a show cause from the NCAA, along with a lot of that Jim Harbaugh renegade staff of cheaters. But again, was he, you know, first of all, does that matter if you're an NFL team or you're in the NFL? Probably not. People probably don't care too much. I mean, Barry Switzer went to the Cowboys after whatever the heck he was doing in Oklahoma all those years. You know, it's like, whatever, can you win? I do, you know, it's like, how much did that prop him up though? How much did he had great talent? You know, he's a good coach, but how much did it prop him up to have that sort of schematic advantage?
Yeah.
You know, that's a fair thing to ask, but I think he's also proven himself since he's gone to the NFL.
Some other news. We mentioned Jordan Ross earlier in the show, transferring from Tennessee, the five-star recruit from the 2024 class. He has signed with LSU, Pete Nako's putting it out there. So the Lane train getting Jordan Ross from Tennessee to sign at LSU, Joe.
I mean, that's the thing. When you lose someone like that and you're like, okay, well, he hadn't really produced a lot. Maybe, who knows? Like sometimes guys are encouraged to leave. Right? That does happen. And you may think they're about to be a key player, but then you find out. But when he goes to LSU, you're like, man, Lane just came in here and just threw a big, big number at him and stole away a guy who was going to start for us next year. That sucks. And it
Yeah.
does. And so if that's what you, so if you're Josh Heupel, you need to do that stuff to other people more often.
Yep, totally agree. So Indiana, Oregon coming up tonight in the semifinal. Miami punched their ticket last night in a thrilling win against Ole Miss. So Carson Beck and the Hurricanes are in the national title game, and they'll find out their opponent tonight. Joe, what do you make of the matchup between Indiana and Oregon in a battle in the Big Ten?
Well, I can't wait. I think it's going to be good. Like I just said last segment, I think it's going to be kind of like the first meeting, which is I think the defenses are going to have the edge. We know, like Indiana, man, they're just a solid, sound, all-around defense. And Oregon has some big-time talent on their side of the on their the, on the defense, including Uiagalelei's little brother. They've got some tremendous talent in the back end. And I think Dan, this is a tremendous coaching matchup. Kurt Cignetti is the toast of probably sports, not just college football. It's an incredible story what he's done, and basically people look at him like, oh, so this is just Saban part two, just got his chance way later, and probably way later than he should have. But Dan Lanning's really good too. Dan Lanning's a really good coach. Sometimes he gets a little bit intense. Like, chill it out, man. Chill it out. Like, we will kill them and leave their bodies for them to. It's like, calm down, calm down. Just, it's a football game, Dan. But he's really good. And man, I just that the fact that they lost that game at home in a very close game, great game, with Mendoza threw a pick six, but bounced back from it and led them in the winning score. I just think. This is a huge prove it moment for Lanning to see if he can outcoach Cignetti in any way. And I just think some of the adjustments and the game plans are going to be really fascinating to watch. But I like the defenses in this game.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how it goes. I mean, the sexy part of the matchup is the quarterbacks with Mendoza and Moore going head to head, and they could be the first two picks in the draft. We'll see. Do either one of them put together a special performance tonight, right? Does that happen where you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, I mean, they may have just locked up the number one overall pick next year. We'll see what happens on that front. I just with what Indiana has done. Until they lose in this tournament, I think I'm just riding with Indiana. And I understand, like Miami, look, Miami could absolutely win this thing, right? I mean, you watched them play last night, the talent they've got on the defensive side of the ball, some of the pass catchers that they got. I think Carson Beck has done really well for himself so far in the playoff, in terms of, is he, could he be helping his draft status moving forward here too? I mean, look, we forget, Joe, that, this time, well, not this time, but before last season when he was still at Georgia. When you started to think about like the preseason number one overall picks in the NFL, Carson Beck's name came up just as much as anybody else's did, right? Which kind of goes to show you like he was the talk of the town of being the number one pick before last college football season. This year it was like, oh, is it going to be Lenore Sellers? Is it going to be Garrett Nussmeier? Is it going to be Arch Manning? So it kind of goes to show you what the value of like preseason talk in college football for number one picks ultimately ends up meaning, which is not very much, but. Like, it's not like Carson Beck just got less talented. Like, he's got great size, good ability, and he's playing really well right now.
Now, he is so interesting when it comes to the NFL draft because you're right, he has traits. I thought last night, I just thought he was fearless and he let it rip and made a lot of big time plays. And so, if he wins it, if he leads them to a title and outduels either one of these quarterbacks, which is what it's going to be. I mean, maybe he won't outduel them and they could still win. Maybe Miami gets a strip sack, whatever. But still, if he beats either one of these quarterbacks who are in the top two of the draft, according to most people right now, first of all, I could totally see at least like one or two teams just totally fall in love with him, saying, "Hey, man, he was there all along." Remember, he had a terrible injury last year, and he's bounced back from that too. So yeah, he is a really interesting test case of how just a postseason like we have now with the CFP, with the 12 team, can just change the math for someone so dramatically. We've talked about this has happened at times in the NCAA tournament in basketball where a player goes nuts, and all of a sudden he is so much more draftable or moves way up, and there's a GM or two or more who are totally like on board with that player. You know, can we see that more with this expanded playoff now for the NFL?
Well, and you had Jacoby Thomas flying around last night making plays for Miami, and he was at Tennessee. I think he was at MTSU before that, so Tennessee probably could have used him this year.
They could have. They could use a rangy, difference-making safety, for sure. And I thought they were going to get one, and he went to NC State.
He did. So we will see what happens on that front tonight. Going to be a fun weekend in the NFL as well. You got Bears-Packers on Prime coming up on Saturday night. Bills-Jags this weekend as well. Wild card weekend. One of the best football weekends of the year, Joe. You got the college football playoff semifinal and NFL wild card weekend. And, you know, who knows? Maybe one day local teams will be a part of this weekend again down here.
Wouldn't that be nice? But in the meantime, there's also a lot of great college basketball. You know, never talked about how much college basketball we talked about yesterday on the show.
Oh, I heard about it.
Oh, man.
I'm glad you got it in there.
Oh, it was fantastic. We enjoyed it. Thank you, Connor Newt. He's a hooper. He's a hooper like me.
Let's get Robbie out of here more often. Get a little bit more basketball in there.
There you go.
That's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We'll be back on Monday morning. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.